today on Real Radio.
It's Paul where most of the New Testament doctrine comes from. God had given him tremendous knowledge and tremendous revelation of secrets. By the way, that's the meaning of the word mystery, something that has been held secret.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In fact, we're in a series within a series, taking a close look at chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing with United in the Gifts.
If God has given you the gift of knowledge, God will reveal secrets to you. We'll talk about what those things are, and we'll see in Scripture how those things happen. The word knowledge is to be all-knowing. Now, we cannot be all-knowing. God is all-knowing. His omniscience, it's one of His attributes. He knows all. Isn't that fantastic? He can't learn anything. Isn't it funny sometimes in our fit of carnality, we'll say to ourselves, we would never say it out loud, well, I'm going to show Him something. God didn't do this or God didn't do that. I'm going to show Him. You're going to show Him nothing. It didn't work out my way. That's it, God. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to ditch the prayer meetings. What are you going to do, hurt Him? Does that upset Him? It only messes you up. It only messes me up. He has all knowledge. He knows all. Now, we've mentioned to you before concerning the nature of God. There is this thing called the decree of God. Not the degree, but the decree of God. And I always look for places to wiggle this into a message because it's so wonderful that in the decree of God, it is that He knows all things that will happen. He even knows all things that are not going to happen. And you go, wait a minute. How can He know something that's not going to happen? He knows. Have you ever said, well, what if this happens? Well, even if it doesn't, He knows that if it did, this would be the result. That is the decree of God. He knows everything, actual and possible. Things that will never happen, He knows. And because He is of that type of a God and that He is possessing that type of a nature, and because we have the precedent in the Scripture that God gives the gift of knowledge, He will leak to you, those of you who have that gift, certain bits of knowledge for certain reasons. We'll talk about what those reasons are and in what context. But it's to know all things. That is God's attribute. It's God's desire, though, for His people to have a knowledge of Him and a knowledge of the world around them, around us. In Jeremiah 3:15, great verse, listen to this. God says, I will give you pastors according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. That's important. Where does that come from? From the teaching of the Bible. Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, Paul says, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. Now that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We'll cover it on a different night. But all knowledge. The gift of discernment and the gift of knowledge is different. Another scripture reference, Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed, I also, Paul says, I count all things lost. Actually, the word is dung. Bandini. I count all things manure that I've gained in my life. And Paul had gained quite a few diplomas in his day and quite a bit of power. When you read the book of Acts, you see that. He says, oh, it's all lost. It's all nothing, that I may gain the excellency of Christ and the knowledge of Him, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Personal knowledge brings us to a deepening awareness of His nature and of His person. And this is exciting. In Isaiah 11:9, the Bible tells us concerning the millennial reign of Jesus that is yet coming. The Scripture says, Isaiah says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain, Mount Zion, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Knowing God. Isn't that great? Listen, there are two views concerning the very presence of the word of knowledge as a gift. We'll give you two views. They are the ones that are debated over. And one is, the first one, is that the word of knowledge is the organizational knowledge that a person can be given by God. And that is knowledge that God allows you to acquire through learning, or through education, or through experience. It's rather natural, but they'll say it's a gift of God, which means kind of you have a gift at learning. It's God-given. You have the gift of learning through education, through experience. Through learning all these things, you now, you see. And a lot of people hold that view. I'm sure that God has given us the ability to learn, and we're grateful for it. But the other view I kind of lean towards, I like a lot. I think it gives God more glory. And that is a supernatural act of God imparted to someone as a gift. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6, we just read it. And this is the reason why I believe the second view is that there are diversities of gifts, it says, but the same Spirit. Diversities of ministry, but the same Lord. And diversities of activity, but the same God. Somebody may have the gift of knowledge on this side of the sanctuary, and somebody may have it in the middle, and somebody may have it on this side of the sanctuary. And you'll have the gift of knowledge, but it will be used differently. The Holy Spirit uses the gifts differently in your life. Now, obviously, you know, David Hawking and Charles Stanley you know, Chuck Smith, they obviously have a world-renowned gift of teaching. I mean, the world knows these names, and they're blessed by their teaching. But they're different from one another. And isn't it amazing that David Hawking and Chuck Smith could sit down and Charles Stanley could get up and teach, and they would be taught and ministered to truths that they would not have thought of themselves? And I've seen this even happen before, where even at a conference, somebody will be given a verse. And one pastor will come up. I've heard Greg Laurie come up and give a message. He sits down to the conference, and John Corson comes up on the same verse and teaches something absolutely different. How can that be? Same Holy Spirit, diversity in use of the gift. It's very exciting. That's why there's churches everywhere. That's why nobody goes to the same church. There is the work of the Spirit raising up people that minister to a certain group of people. Now, in some areas, we are way too casual in here. In some areas, we're way too formal, if you can believe that. It just dawns on me right now while I'm standing here. I am realizing that for the first time in 6 years, I'm teaching with Huarache sandals on. And I just realized that by bringing up this piece of Bible and how cold my feet are up here. And now when I go home tonight, Lisa's going to say, don't ever wear that. That is too casual. And it probably is, I guess. I don't know. But actually, Jesus wears sandals. But there's a diversity. That's why denominations, by the way, are dying. They're putting God, or they're trying to keep Him stuff in the box that they've created. And He won't live there anymore. Time's too short. And He's out and about. And so we need to go where He is. A great example of this supernatural knowledge imparted by the Lord is in Matthew 16:15. In Matthew 16:15, the scripture says, "And he said to them," that is Jesus to Peter and the guys, "he says, 'Who do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said to him, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Gives you goosebumps just thinking about Peter saying that. "And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" That's it. That is an impartation of a word of knowledge. "Flesh and blood has not given this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." Knowledge that comes from above. Receiving information, facts, knowledge, without being schooled, trained, or exposed to it. God will give it. God will give it. We're going to talk in a moment about how do you know when that happens. I mean, that could be kind of scary, and it can be. This kind of gift demands responsibility. It's a public gift, or it can be. Paul had been given special revelations and knowledge regarding this type of a gift like this and the very gift in his life. And Ephesians 3, verse 4, Paul says, "By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Paul the Apostle had a knowledge revealed to him about the New Testament truth that is really second to none. Did you notice that? How many epistles did Peter write? I'm not putting down Peter. And it doesn't matter, how many epistles you write, I guess. But Peter even says, "Wow, Paul, the things that he writes, they're hard to understand." Peter writes that in his own epistle. Paul was given some pretty awesome revelations and bits of knowledge from God that no one's been given. You look at Paul's conversion in the book of Acts. If you read the fine print carefully, there's about 14 years that takes place before he gets into public ministry. And he'll tell you that for years he was schooled by Jesus in the wilderness. And that it was Jesus that revealed to him the mystery regarding the church and the bride of Christ. Amazing stuff. It's Paul where most of the New Testament doctrine comes from. God had given him tremendous knowledge and tremendous revelation of secrets. By the way, that's the meaning of the word mystery. Something that has been held secret until a specific time and then let loose. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, that he revealed his Son in me, that I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and again I returned to Damascus." That's Galatians 1, verses 15 through 17. And so the word of knowledge, its purpose in the life of the believer is this. It is to bring us closer to God and to one another. Colossians 2, 3 says that it is Jesus Christ, and in him are hidden all the treasures of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God. It's God's will that we have this knowledge. It is God's will that the knowledge be used in the church for the edification of the believers, yes, for the unity of the body, that we might draw closer to God and to one another. It's to be active within the church. Paul makes this clear in Romans 15. You can look at it later when you go through your notes. When is it used? When is this gift used? Whenever and wherever there is a need for the body or for a believer to be exhorted or to be instructed or to be encouraged. We'll talk about this now. Interesting things, great examples. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. This is an example of how it's used and when it's used. At Lystra, it says there was a certain man without strength in his feet, and he was sitting. He was a cripple from his mother's womb, and he had never walked. And this man heard Paul speaking, and Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said to him, "Get up, let's go. You know, God wants to heal you. Get on your way." Now, isn't that kind of funny? We've read that 100 times, but it says that Paul is there in the area of Lystra, and he sees a man. The word is that he observes a man who's never walked from birth. And Paul looks at him, and it says, seeing that he had faith to be healed. Well, now what does that mean? Peter might have said, Paul, how did you do that? I mean, how did you know that? I mean, you looked right over that guy, and you said, get up on your feet. Come on, let's go. How did you know that? Well, you know what? Paul said, he just had that look of faith. No. Paul didn't look at him and say, Andrew, Silas, doesn't that guy look like he just got faith written all over his face? He perceived. The word is that he had an in-depth conviction. All of a sudden, it was, by the way, what's implied, it was instantaneous. Paul was on his way. If you read the text carefully, he happens to look at this guy, and in a moment, his heart is aroused, and he's got the thought in his mind, tell that guy to get up. And Paul says, hey, you're healed. In the name of the Lord, get up. And if you keep reading, on they go. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit do that to you? He's done it to me. I say he's done it to me, believing that I was in total disobedience. I remember one time seeing a man crippled in a wheelchair, and I thought for sure God was saying, go to that guy and pray for him that he might be healed. You know what I did? I didn't do anything. I said, no, that can't be you. And I walked away. You know why I did that? Because I didn't want to look like an idiot. That's the only reason. Was it God or was it not God? Well, I don't know. Let's think about it for a minute. First of all, I know God's nature. He loves me and he loves that crippled man. Why was I thinking about, you know, what's on sale at Home Depot when this thing just came into my mind? It was instantaneous. Should I have responded? I should have responded. Well, what if it would have been wrong? Then I would have looked like a fool. But I sure have looked like a fool in other situations and instances. And you say, well, that's a pretty risky thing. I don't know if I'd do that. How about this? Have you ever been somewhere and the Lord says, share the Lord with that person? Have you ever felt that tug? Has anyone felt that tug? I know why we're not bobbing our heads up and down. It's because we disobey him when he says it. Share right now. Lord, I'm tired. Tell that person about me. Just tell them I love them. Oh, God, come on. To the glory of God, the times that I have obeyed him, it has always worked out with success. Always. Now, when we go to Russia, I'll grab a translator and I'll say, come on. And I'll look like a shark. I'm going through the crowd and I believe, now this is between me and God, and it may not work for you, but there are 6.5 million people on the streets. So I'm saying, Lord, lead me to the person. You know who it is. Before the world was ever laid, you know the person that I'm going to talk to in any moment. Show me who it is. Pull me to them. And I'm like, I mean, I'm not saying this out loud. This is what I'm thinking. God, let me know. I remember one day we were in Russia, and there, it was like one of those days, rare moments where, you know what? We couldn't unload the net fast enough. We were reeling in so many people. And it was a clear message concerning the gospel of Jesus, no doubt about it. Led by the Spirit. He loves to do that stuff. And it'd be a thought in your mind. It'd be a thought, just a thought. You'll be doing something and it'd be, Karen, I should call her. And you may be sewing or cooking and, Karen, I should call her. You know what you're supposed to do at that moment? Call Karen. How many times have you done that? I know there's people in here, I'm looking at some of them. You've done that. And Karen was on the other end of the line feeling that nobody cared and nobody loved her anymore. I had it happen to me this week. I was doing my thing and the Lord just dropped this name in my head. Boom. What's this for? It's for what you've been thinking about. You've been wondering about this thing. This is the person. Pick up the phone. Are you able? Can you do it? Yep. Great. Done. Wow. God, you are so awesome. Just a deposit. I like to call it a deposit of the knowledge of God. It's His will. The gift can also be what I think very frightening. And I mentioned earlier that it takes some sort of responsibility. We'll look at some of the examples here in a moment. I remember years ago, a friend of mine, the day that he introduced us to his girlfriend, great girl, in my mind, can you imagine this? Hi, how are you? Great, nice to meet you. They're going to fall. That thought went right into my head, and I thought, what a wicked bum I am. Lord, just get that out of my head. They're going to fall. Pray for them. Warn them. And that, I didn't say a thing, and it cooked, and it cooked, and it baked, and it stewed, and it simmered, and it boiled, and one day I walked over, and I said to him, not to her, I said, listen, I want to let something off my heart. I love you. We've been together forever. But just be careful. The scripture says that sin crouches at your door and it's waiting. And I'm afraid that you might fall with so-and-so, so just be careful. You know what he said? Now, we've been brothers for years and we're brothers now. He said, I am sick to my stomach that you would even insist. You are so wicked. I can't believe it. And he just went off. He wouldn't talk to me. Broke our friendship off. There's a knock at the door. And he said, I need to talk to you. And I said, what's going on? He was bawling like a baby. They fell down. And we cried and we prayed. And what are you going to do? Told you. No, you're humbled. It's like, God, you are too awesome. And you get on your face with them and you cry and you restore them and it's fine. You make it work. The repentance was obvious. It was there.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, commonly known simply as Ephesians. What we're hearing is Jack's series within a series that takes a close look at chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16 of Ephesians. It's called United in the Gifts, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've been telling you about the Southern California Prophecy Conference coming up here in February at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about it. Pastor Jack?
Mike, we are so excited about this conference, and I want everybody to know that the tickets are going to go on sale December 14th. And you might say, Jack, December 14th, the event's in February. Yeah, we understand that. But listen, this event is turning out to be a big deal, and you need to mark that down and be ready. Seating is limited to 3,000 seats. And when those 3,000 seats are taken, it's over. So listen, December 14th, tickets go on sale, and you can go to SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. Get your ticket, and you won't have to worry about it, because I'm telling you, on February 20th, 21st, and 22nd, the house is going to rock. We have got an amazing lineup of speakers that, frankly, you're not going to get anywhere else here on the West Coast for sure, as we've got great guys coming in. And once again, that conference title is Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. All of us need to hear what these wonderful speakers are going to be delivering to us by the Holy Spirit of God. So we'll see you here if you get your tickets December 14th. God bless.
Okay, again, find out more by visiting realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or by calling us toll-free at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs, radio. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.